Giorgio is back from vacation. It's good to have you back. You've been away for a while. We hadn't seen you since last month.
I know.
But it looked like you had a tremendous journey.
I really did. And there's no way I could tell you everything about the trip here in the next 14 minutes or so. And I won't try to go shot by shot of all the rounds of golf I played. The plan was, and this trip was put together by Art Strickland, longtime golf writer here in the area. In fact, Art and I figured out that we've known each other since the late 80s when you and I were in college, because back then he was working for the Louisville Leader and covering Louisville football.
Wow, okay.
Remember, we probably had Art on in a halftime show or something.
Yes.
way back in the day. So he puts these trips together and around the United States, around the country, our own country, and also countries like Ireland or Scotland. And I got to be honest, I had heard much about Irish golf through the years, just because, you know, and they haven't had the Open, what we used to call the British Open there, that much outside of Portrush about 8 years ago, mainly because there's the whole thing of the setting of Ireland in the 60s and 70s. It wasn't that travel friendly for Americans. And there are beautiful golf courses everywhere in this country, certainly in Scotland with the tradition, and New Zealand, Australia. Everybody has their courses that they pump up as the best in the world. But I got to tell you, the sights I saw, the courses I played, it was the greatest golf experience I've ever had. And I say that with limited background outside of, I've played Pebble Beach. I've played some really nice courses. When we've gone out to California, we've jumped on some nice courses in Arizona. But I've never had an experience like this. I've just never taken the guy golf trip. I've just something I've never done. And I'm really glad I did this. My friend Todd from high school pitched this idea to me about 6 months ago. And it's the type of idea that I easily would have said no to, just because, well, I got too much going. That sounds like it's a round job jam. But I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, before I can't take a trip like this, why not?
Yes, YOLO.
Let's do it. And it shocked Todd, because he has a hard enough time getting me out at Grapevine to go play on a Wednesday afternoon. 9 courses in 9 days, that's a very ambitious idea to begin with. But I thought, you know what, it sounds great. So started to play a little more, started to get on, exercise bike and get my legs ready, and went on the trip. That was the other factor. It started the day after Jub Jam. So I left. Jub Jam was Friday night, May 30th. I left Saturday night at 6 o'clock with very little sleep and at the point of exhaustion when I started this trip. But I thought, hey, I sleep on the plane, and it's going to be great. And it was. To the country of Ireland, it's breathtakingly beautiful. The countryside, the rolling hills, it's green because it rains every day. Mm-hmm. It's so lush. The weather while we were there was between the 40s and high 50s. And every day that there was a golf round played, at least 2 to 4 holes, you would have rain.
That's amazing, because that's summer.
That's summer, yeah. And apparently, I guess their best weather month is April. This is supposed to be a decent time where it can warm up into the 60s and 70s. It never really did, maybe the low 60s. But the countryside of Ireland, the farms, the ranches, and then the seaside of Ireland, and the courses that went along with that. We got there, we played, I mean, right off the plane. We get on the bus, we get our clubs together, and we're pretty much on the tee at Royal Dublin. Of course, it's been there for 150 years or something. And pretty nondescript, but links course, and we played there. Then went to the European Club that was built in the 90s. Again, a relatively new club, but it was right on the coast, and the wind was blowing, no exaggeration, between 35 and 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
I have never played in wind like that before. I think most of us over here would go, that's okay. I'm not playing today. Mm-hmm. If we had a tournament going, I think it would have been suspended. I can't tell you how many times I put my ball down and the wind blew it and I had to pick it back up and put it down. Really tough course. It wasn't a great experience because of that wind. But the next day, when we went to this point, as we were working our way around Ireland, this old point that was an old navigational point, lighthouse that had been there, one of the first lighthouses that was ever built, it's called Old Head. It looks like a head of a man that's on the rock formation. I sent some pictures to you. I've put some up on X this morning. There's one of Old Head there. I mean, 400 to 600 foot drop-offs.
Yeah.
Just spectacular. The picture does not do it justice. And, you know, I took several of them, but there were times where I just stood on the tee box and the group walked on and I just stood there. It was just beautiful and breathtaking. And I've never seen a sight like that before. The Oregon coast, the California coast are beautiful, but I've never seen drop-offs like that. And that's where your ball is going if you don't hit it straight.
You're not retrieving that
no,
one.
No, it's gone. It's just gone. So, I won't go shot by shot, but I tell you about three courses in particular. Old Head, where the views were just something that I've never seen and will ever see again unless I go back. Adair Manor, where they are playing the 2027 Ryder Cup. And it's a very American-like course. It's compared to Augusta. And I'm here to tell you, I felt like I played Augusta.
Really?
In Ireland.
Wow.
It was just gorgeous. And the other thing that made that day special was I played well, for me. I shot 77 that day. Todd, who's always been better than me, even from the time that we were teammates in high school at R.L. Turner, and he was a sophomore and I was a senior, I think he shot 71 that day.
Wow.
And he had three straight birdies on the back nine.
It's pretty good that the both of you can still put up those scores on those kind of courses.
Yeah, and he does it all the time. You know, he does it, but I don't. And that day, we played with two guys in Atlanta. I should give a shout out to our traveling crew, Art, who put it together, my friend Todd, David, who had his two sons, Jason and Kevin, on the trip, which was really cool. I looked at them, and they were playing golf together every day, mm-hmm. Dad and his two sons. Quayen, or Q, as we called him, who was from Houston. Kurt and Jeff from Atlanta. Robert and Frank and Bill here from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So most of us were from around here. But that day at Adair Manor, just and as I texted you this, just for a second, we turned back the clock. And we were in high school playing golf again,
yeah.
You know, and playing well. And it was typical. I was good, and Todd was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, we're old buds again on the golf course, and not just any course, but this beautiful course in Ireland called Adair Manor. And I feel like the one thing that did stand out to me, maybe the Americans will have a chance there because it's a very American-like course.
Okay.
It's not a big links course. And that got me thinking as we're playing these courses, including Portrush, and I'll have all sorts of inside information when the Open is played here in a month because that's where they're playing the British Open, or the Open, as we call it. The grandstands are up. The corporate tents are up.
That's cool.
And we got to play it.
That's cool.
And it was awesome. Yeah.
Hard?
Yeah. Really hard. I was 1 over through 4. And that was the point where I felt a pop in my knee. And this is also the moment of the trip where I started feeling bad. I'd already taken a spa day, but I was not going to let not feeling well keep me from Portrush. And I played horrible. I didn't feel well. I popped my knee on 4, and I went from 1 over to 11 over in the course of 5 holes.
You almost got to hope it's a cramp.
You do have to hope it's a cramp. And I ended up shooting, I think, like 94, something terrible. Todd beat me by 20 shots. He shot 74 on Portrush. Now, we didn't play from the very back, and the whole time I'm looking back there thinking, how are these guys going to break par? But as I played these courses, I thought, it confirms what I've always said come Ryder Cup time. Hey, how do we get beat? How'd they come over here and just beat our butts? Because if you play over there in Scotland or Ireland, you have to learn how to play in 35 to 40 mile an hour winds. You don't just walk in. That's your playing day. You don't walk in when it starts raining. You keep going. Mm-hmm. You play through the rain. You learn how to hit a ball out of rough that we think, well, that's unfair. I just tried to hit it and the ball went like 5 feet. Yeah. You think we have rough over here in Bermuda? No. There are guys in our group who are still hitting their shot on 13 from a week ago because that rough is so tough to get out of. They are tougher than us, and they do walk. You know, I know I'm not talking to every American. I'm proud of Bob Sturm for getting really involved in golf and walking now. They walk over there a lot more than we do. Some courses didn't even have carts or boogies.
All your rounds were walking rounds? Or did you have a couple cart rounds?
We had one cart day. The rest were walking.
That's great.
And it's so good for you. And I'm guilty of it. Give me a cart and, put a couple cold ones in that little cooler there on the side. I'm very guilty of it. And there is something to that. You play in those conditions. After we played Portrush, we went up towards Belfast and Hollywood Golf Course. That's where Rory grew up, and we got to have dinner at Rory's club.
Wow.
That's why they have the pictures of the replica trophies, all of them except the Masters.
That's great.
That he won. And I looked at that course and thought, yeah, that's why Rory can stand over a 200-yard shot, narrow, into the wind, and just hit it perfectly, because he grew up playing this course
right. In
50-degree temperatures with 30-mile-an-hour wind and rain. It was just great. The people of Ireland couldn't have been nicer, more kind, friendly. From the woman who ran the bed and breakfast that we stayed in Portrush, who, when I wasn't feeling well, she drove us to a convenience store and pointed out medicine that she thought would make me feel better. She made tea at night.
That's great.
Just all the people were so friendly when they heard our accent. Oh, where in America are you from? Oh, tell me about Texas. I've never been. And they were so kind. There is something to the Irish, though, that, like in a pub, again, very friendly, but you can kind of tell they got that chip on their shoulder that if you do cross them, they're going to mess you up.
Yeah.
And I talked to a group of dudes. It's like a 9-minute thing that I've cut down to about 45 seconds here, because we would start talking about music and lifestyle and just life, you know, with caddies and people that we run into in pubs. And I thought we would have common ground in music, because I know even Texas country is big in parts of Ireland. And I certainly thought we would have common ground on U2. But I'm here to tell you a very informal survey that I did. I would say less than 20% of the Irish are big U2 fans.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I bet you they distance from U2.
Well, and I found that one common thing is that they don't think Bono pays Irish taxes.
Yeah.
And they're not real happy about that.
I've heard that.
So I brought it up to, we talked about all sorts of stuff, golf and soccer, American football, and then we got around to the subject of U2, and there's about 9 people talking to me at once, but you get a flavor here.
How about U2 fans? U2. You're too young. You're 32, I guess.
Yeah, but still.
Do you think you look at them as old?
One good song, yeah.
One good song? No. Really, really? No U2 fans? We got
Americans love U2.
Americans love U2. Irish songs.
Really? Yeah. Is it because Bono doesn't pay Irish taxes?
Yeah, prick, yeah.
No, really? No. What is going on? I thought everybody's their legends.
He's from the north side. He's from the north side. Where's the south side?
Oh, he's from the north side? Okay.
The Joshua Tree was the only good album we have.
Oh, come on.
And they lived off that for their careers, you know?
Every album's been good, right? At least we've been buying it in America. Is it being good?
Yeah.
That's why he's making his money.
That's how he's making his money off you stupid Americans. But yeah, it wasn't just them. I was shocked that caddy after caddy, and there were a few, oh yeah, I like them. Yeah, I love them. My parents listen to them, and I really like them. But I would say 80% was like, nah, not really.
You know, I'd heard that because Bono lives a lot of the time in New York, and Edge lives a lot of the time in Malibu. And I think they've kind of, like the Irish kind of feel like they've left them behind.
Yeah. it just crushed me because I thought we'd have a lot of, hey, what did you think in this album? When
right.
No, there was none of that. It was just like, yeah, pretty much one good song, and that's about it. Just like
that is about it.
Okay, don't you start
come to think
it.
Of it, the Irish make a good point.
What about our country music? Were they at all interested?
Yes, very. In fact, a couple of the caddies, when you know, I told them about the Bird Dogs and our little project, and they made a point to write it down. I give it a listen.
Okay.
I love country. I was like, oh, geez, I don't know. But you give it a listen, what you're going to think. But, yeah, man, it was awesome. It really was.
How was the food?
The food was great. I keep hearing that. You go to Ireland, I don't know. But whether it was fish and chips or the seafood, you know, a lot of the courses we played were on the coast. Seafood was out of this world good.
Good.
One night we had Asian. It was fantastic. The food was great. And I'd heard that about Ireland. The food's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, for 9 days, maybe we were just hungry, walking 18, but it all tasted great over there.
What an incredible life experience you
it
just
really
had.
It really was.
That
yeah.
sounds just awesome to experience a new part of the world, to do it while participating in the sport you love with a good friend, and you made new friends. And that's one of my favorite things about going to different places, talking to the locals and
Glocos.
The Glocos, yeah. That's great. Very happy for you.
And I thought of you, Gordo. I kept a journal.
Oh, good.
I journaled my trip just so I could remember names and what happened on those days. And yeah.
Good excellent. Idea. Even the most basic of journals you will appreciate later on.
Yeah.
Because I found trips where I didn't journal so much. I've had some trips where I didn't journal at all. But the ones that I just even wrote just a basic rudimentary thing that I did that day and how I felt or what the weather was like, I appreciate it so much in retrospect.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're paying so much for great experiences like you did, I don't know what the price tag was on this.
It was up there. Yeah.
The words, help with the memories, and the memories are what you're really buying.
Yes.
The experience.
It was a great
of it.
Life experience.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very happy for you. That's great. That's a great tale.